Hello, this is Brigitte.
Hi, Brigitte.
Yes.
Hi, Brigitte.
Hello. Who do we have on the call?
Yes, Ginger Lowry in Austin, Texas.
Ginger, good. Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
This is Sherry.
Brenda, Brenda, Bob.
Sherry, up there in Sacramento. Great.
Yep, yep. Brenda Blindenbaugh from British Columbia.
Brenda, good. You made it.
I made it. Edna from Chula Vista.
Who is that in Chula Vista?
Edna.
Edna, good. Good, good.
And who Chula Vista is in California, is that correct?
Yes, it's
yes.
San Diego.
Okay. I was just there 2 weeks ago looking for colleges with my daughter.
So is this Ginger?
Yes, it's
okay.
Very beautiful out there.
Yes, it is.
Lovely weather, nice cool breezes and the beach and
mm-hmm.
being able to drive down to Ocean Beach. And
did somebody else just come on the line?
Yeah.
Who is this?
This is Lindsay.
Lindsay from up in Washington?
Yes, Tacoma, Washington.
Good, Lindsay. I'm glad you could make it. Do we have anybody else who's just come on?
Yes, I'm Linda in Los Angeles.
Linda in Los Angeles. Welcome. Glad you could come to the call. And somebody else is coming on?
Hi, this is John. I'm here.
Oh, John. Thank you. Good. Yes, we need you. Does anybody else new come on since... We're going to have this wonderful, wonderful call with Dr. John Gray. Hello, somebody else has come on?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello. Hello?
And you are calling from?
Vancouver. This is Nusha. Hi.
Nusha, hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, well, we'll just get started in another minute so we can make the most of our time with Dr. Gray. And certainly very, very excited about this call. We're going to hear some wonderful information about relationships and our health tonight. Another person who's come on, can you introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Mila from San Jose, California.
Who is that?
Mila.
Mila, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, who is this?
This is Joyce from New York City.
What is your name?
Joyce.
Joyce from New York. Yeah, please say who you are when you come on the line.
Hello, Dave Becker, Pleasanton, California.
Dave, welcome.
Hi,
hello,
for you.
This is Emma.
Emma from
Marin.
From Marin, our neighbor.
Lynn from New York City.
Lynn, hello.
Hi, Brigitte.
So glad you could make it. That's great.
Diana.
More people coming on? Hello?
Yes.
Who is this? Hello? Can you tell us who you are? No? Anonymous.
Really?
Anonymous. Hello? Some new person came on?
You could have called me.
I tried. I left you a voicemail.
You did?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Is this a teleseminar?
Yes.
Oh, so am I the first person on here or something?
No, we have a lot of people on this call. This is with Dr. John Gray. This is the Discover Meditation call. Are you on the right call?
Yes.
And who is this?
My name is Beverly.
Beverly. Well, welcome. All right, well, I'm going to get started. We have a lot of people booked on this call, but I want to get started so that we can really, really benefit from this gift tonight of having Dr. John Gray in person live on this call with us. And Dr. Gray is the author of 16 best-selling books, including Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which I'm sure you've all heard of. And this is the number one best-selling book of the last decade.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? In the past 10 years, over 30 million Mars and Venus books have been sold in over 40 languages throughout the world. So Dr. Gray's message really has, obviously, a huge universal appeal that transcends languages and all these divisions of countries and so on. He appeals to people all over the world. And the focus of his work is to help men and women understand, respect, and appreciate their differences in both personal and professional relationships. And in his many books and CDs, DVDs, tapes, workshops, and seminars, he provides practical tools and insights, and we're going to be hearing a lot of these tonight, to effectively manage stress and improve our relationships at all stages and ages by creating the brain chemistry, and I think his work in this area is quite brilliant, the brain chemistry of health, happiness, and lasting romance, which we all want in our lives. And, of course, you know, you all know this is a Discover Meditation teleseminar, and it is through meditation and through the practice of self-awareness of our health, our needs, and our motivations that we can bring out the best in ourselves and in our partners, and be more in touch with our own inner wisdom, which the more in touch we are with ourselves, therefore, the better all our relationships are, and we can also do a lot to help our health. So very soon I'm going to be handing you over to Dr. Gray, and he's going to be speaking to us about our health and our relationships. And later on in the call, he is going to be answering some of your questions. We got a tremendous amount of questions in, so we won't be able to answer everybody's questions, but we are going to have a good try at answering some of them for you. So let us now give a warm, warm welcome to Dr. John Gray.
Welcome.
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 And I'm going to now... Are you still there, John?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Good. So I'm going to now mute everybody out so that the sound is better. Everybody's going to be able to hear you much better with everybody muted out. And then I'm going to unmute everybody when we get to the questions so we can have some interactive dialogue. Okay, so I'm handing over to you, John.
Well, it's a real pleasure for me to spend some time with everyone tonight, and I'll be talking about some of the information in my most recent book, The Mars and Venus Diet and Exercise Solution. I guess it was about 10 years ago that I started looking into, well, as I've been looking into the gender differences, there was so much research on our brains being different, our hormones different, that I began looking in that direction. And there was amazing statistics beginning to develop. For example, 10 times as many women were on antidepressants than men. 10 times as many boys had ADD and ADHD symptoms as girls. So what was this all about? And the research was showing that low levels of serotonin were responsible for the depression that women were experiencing, and that low levels of a brain chemical called dopamine were responsible for the ADD symptoms and ADHD symptoms. And then as I looked further into the ADD symptoms that boys particularly had, I saw that most of them, almost every man I've ever met, has different degrees of. I mean, if we think about it, attention deficit disorder, what is it women's biggest complaint in marriages and relationships is that men don't listen, and they just don't have the same attention span they used to have in the beginning of the relationship. And these tend to be the symptoms of ADD, where you just get restless when a woman's talking, for example. Your brain isn't producing enough brain chemicals in the prefrontal cortex to stay interested. And so that was very curious to me. What is going on here? And I found that in terms of looking at some of the brain differences they discovered in 1995, that the emotional center of the brain becomes 8 times more active under stress for a woman than a man. And when that occurs, the brain has to produce serotonin in order to relax the emotional center. So that's perfectly normal. Women have, you know, all this increased blood flow to sort of set off the alarms if something goes wrong, and then there's another brain chemical that comes along to remind them that everything's okay. So that's a balancing factor. Serotonin gives us a sense of optimism and comfort and contentment, while the emotional limbic system can you know, help remind us of all the things that could go wrong and have gone wrong. So as long as the brain is making plenty of serotonin, that's fine. But when a woman's under stress and she's run out of her serotonin because she tends to use it up 8 times faster, it's important that she's able to continue making it. And to make serotonin, you have to have an ample supply of various nutrients that I talk about in the book, which are B vitamins and amino acids, particularly L-tryptophan, and omega-3 essential fatty acids are some of the key ingredients, as well as a lot of good antioxidants. But it all stands on the foundation of balanced blood sugar. If her blood sugar drops, which means she's hungry or feels tired, then literally that's a sign that the brain's not getting the fuel it needs to make the serotonin, which gives her a sense of optimism. Without that optimism, then she'll begin to feel feelings like overwhelm. There's too much to do, there's not enough time, it's up to me. And that further creates more stress, which depletes her serotonin and causes more, you know, distress. So it's a cycle. Once it's going, if she doesn't have the right nutrients in her body to produce serotonin, and it could be overwhelm is one of the common experiences that women experience when their serotonin levels drop. Another is food cravings. Hence, tonight we'll also talk about ways to lose weight. One of the side effects of the program that I've developed to help balance brain chemistry for both men and women is, you know, wasn't the intention, but the side effect turned out to be that if people were overweight, they would lose weight very quickly, come back to their normal weight. And even people who were kind of wasting away as they're getting older actually started to put on muscle mass just by following the same program. Because the program that I'm outlining tonight, talking to you about, is so wonderful to assist us in providing the body and the brain with the right nutrients to make plenty of brain chemicals. In my own past, as a teacher of meditation, teacher of yoga back over 30 years ago, meditation's always been a very, very important part of my life. And I noticed that a certain part of my life, when I would meditate long hours, that I would start getting depressed afterwards. I couldn't figure that out because I'd be really high in meditation, but then life was just pressing against me. And what I discovered now in retrospect is that whenever our brains go into a state of peak performance, we can actually use up our brain nutrients faster and then leave us depleted. So that's another aspect. So when things are going really right, we'll often crash, or at least the brain function will tend to crash, different symptoms for men and women. But when we're under a lot of stress, also stress depletes men of dopamine and women of serotonin. Another symptom of low serotonin is food cravings, as I just mentioned. And another is then the more commonly known symptom, which is depression. Feelings of resentment begin to rise up when serotonin levels drop. Now, on the other side of it, you have low dopamine levels. And these are like really helpful for us to understand what's going on in our relationships, is to recognize that it's not just about relationship skills, but it's often what we eat or what we don't eat that depletes us and depletes our brain of the ability to fully appreciate each other in relationships and respond the way our heart wants to. So the men with low dopamine, they tend to experience a kind of a fatigue, a tiredness, a lack of focus, a lack of motivation to listen. It's just that, you know, in the beginning, everything our partner says is very interesting. We have plenty of dopamine. And then after a while, a dopamine level start dropping. Now you kind of go, well, what happened? Maybe you had a lousy diet in the beginning of a relationship. How did it, why did it go away after a few years? And the answer there is there's an illusion that occurs in the beginning of all relationships, which is there's a newness which stimulates dopamine and serotonin, very much the way a video game, for example, will stimulate lots of dopamine in a young child. So, you know, 90% or 95% of the kids who watch video games are boys. Once again, that's a dopamine stimulator. Everything that stimulates dopamine is in that game. Risk, danger, driving fast, scores, bright lights, colors, sex, you know, all these things stimulate dopamine levels and provide pleasure in the brain. Men can be addicted to their work, and that's that can be a dopamine stimulator. They come home to their relationship, and then suddenly they feel tired and exhausted. That's a sign that their body isn't making enough dopamine due to lack of nutrition. And somebody says, well, gee, if there's an emergency, it has plenty of dopamine, and that's always going to be the case. When you don't have enough nutrients in your body, then you need more stimulation in order to produce the dopamine or the serotonin. You know, what happened over the last 15 years is as a counselor, I watched this over 30 years, but particularly the last 15 years, I'd hear women more and more use the phrase, I feel overwhelmed, too much to do, not enough support, not enough. And this overwhelm word just kept creeping in, and it came into women's lives, but not men. And that is, you know, a clear signal of low serotonin. And then women would come in for counseling, and they talk for a while, and the overwhelm would go away. They'd feel better. And that was amazing to me, because we didn't do anything to solve their problems or reorganize their priorities. I practiced not solving anything, really, but being a good listener and asking questions, and discovered that then the symptoms of low serotonin will tend to go away if there's enough conversation and attention being given to what she's going through. So then I saw statistically that 90% of the people who go to therapy are women. And why? Basically because women value that kind of interaction so much, they'll pay for it. Whereas you wonder, why don't men? And, you know, they're always trying to think, well, men, something's wrong with them. But really, it's just men don't run out of serotonin, so they don't hunger to talk to somebody unless they do run out of serotonin. And certainly a man can, and some men do. But generally speaking, as a general rule, men are going to run out of dopamine after a stressful day, and women run out of serotonin. And, you know, my books are filled with great examples of how we can interact in different ways to stimulate those brain chemicals, like being a good listener and showing interest and asking questions when my wife is talking helps to stimulate serotonin and literally lower her stress levels. You can measure her cortisol levels will drop down when she feels heard and supported. On the flip side of this, men often when they come home, they need some time to be alone, time to recover from the stress of the day. And ironically, for men, it's like almost opposite. They want to temporarily forget the problems of the day. They often don't want to talk about anything, and they want to just distract themselves by watching the news and hear about other people's problems that they don't have to solve. And this way, it kind of relaxes a part of his brain. His muscles recover, his muscles relax, until his energy comes back. So this is a shift for men. And in my books, I call that the cave. Men go to the cave. They need some alone time to pull away, and then they come out of their cave. But, you know, as I wrote that book over 15 years ago, the big complaint or question women have is, well, my husband goes into his cave and he doesn't come out. And when you don't come out of the cave, generally speaking, unless she's standing by the cave of the door wagging her finger at him, making him wrong for it, it's literally men are not making enough dopamine when they're in the cave because they don't have the right nutrients. Likewise, when women say, well, how long should I let my husband be in the cave? I say, well, it's no matter of letting him be in the cave. He's in his cave. You can't do anything about it. What you can do is go on and live your life without being so needy and dependent on him coming out all the time. You know, men will, if anything's going to draw him out, it's the woman who's not trying to draw him out. But on the flip side, I say to them, basically, you know, how long he's going to be in the cave, I say, well, how long do you need to talk sometimes? I mean, that's probably the whole dilemma is sometimes somebody's under stress, they're going to have greater needs, and that is a relationship dynamic. Then, about, I don't know, 6 years ago, I suppose, I really expanded this awareness in my own life, and, you know, part of a whole journey of spiritual growth and development through meditation is self-awareness and what really goes on inside of ourselves. Because as we pull out the best in ourselves, it certainly can pull out the best in our partners and our relationships. You know, the whole journey of spirituality is taking complete responsibility for what goes on in our lives and recognizing that when we're coping with stress, then we have so much more to give to our partners it's kind of a psychological misnomer to always be encouraging people, like, how can you get what you need from your partner? Really what it's about is, how can I give to my partner what they need? That's the spiritual path. How can I be of service, not a me, me, me path? But at the same time, you have to be nurtured. The me, me, me has to be nurtured so that we can give to others. And that becomes our ultimate responsibility, which is, how can I make sure I get what I need? Not my partner make sure they give me what I need, but how can I take responsibility for who I am and what I'm putting out? And am I putting out my best side? And if I need support, how do I get it? And taking responsibility for that. And the key here is what I mentioned a little while earlier, is there's this illusion, in the East it's called Maya, that the illusion of life that always leads us in the wrong direction. And the illusion in relationships is that for the first few years, there's a newness. There's a learning curve that stimulates an abundance of serotonin and dopamine, just like a video game would or a therapy session would. There's a challenge. Challenge stimulates the dopamine in the male, and it's the learning curve of getting to know their partner and seeing what's going to happen and the exploration and the discovery of how this relationship will unfold. That unknowing will stimulate an abundance of serotonin. But once you sort of know your partner and the challenge is over for the male, the learning curve is somewhat over, there's a huge drop in these brain chemicals, and then we feel disappointed that our partners aren't meeting those needs for us, when really that's the time we have to come back and take responsibility for feeling good within ourselves, and then contributing to our partners and allowing them to bring us from feeling good to feeling great. And that's what a relationship can do. It can just bring us to such high levels of love and unconditional love and challenge us to be the best we can be. But the part of that, overcoming that challenge, is, you know, when our partners have the ability sometimes to make us feel so good, and then at times when they're not making us feel so good, to remember that it's our responsibility to feel good and to allow them to bring us from good to great. If you think of it like a thermometer, and you know, 0 to good to 90 is, say, like all your feelings up to feeling really, really good. Then from 90 to 100 is going over the top. And that's feeling great. If we can look to our partners to support us in going from 90 to 100, we will not be disappointed in our relationships. We will enjoy our relationships so much more. It's always a sad experience for me to talk with women who don't want to get in a relationship again. They've been in one, and they're independent, they're alone, and they say, you know, I'm very happy with my choice, and I don't want to be involved with a man again. And I said, oh, so you feel really good on your own? They said, yeah, yeah. And I said, it's too bad you couldn't just remember how to feel good on your own and then be in a relationship with no expectations and no demands and allow your partner to take you from feeling good to great. And it's like a whole new opening for them, because often when women in a relationship, just as men, but more so with women it seems, we get so attached to our partners making us feel good that when they don't, then we can live in this state of waiting for them to change, which never will happen if we're waiting for someone to change before we feel good, that we never take responsibility to feel good. And it's kind of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, all right, I'm going to just make myself feel good, and I don't care about having a relationship. Instead of being in a relationship, taking responsibility to feel good and allowing our partner to support us in feeling even better, and also to help bring them up to feeling better too. So those are some really good insights and ideas to just help guide us back to our spiritual journey, which is, you know, the whole thing of learning to find fulfillment from inside rather than solely depending on it from the outside. And what I found is, just as we need that attitude within ourselves and in our relationships, we need to also look at what we're eating, because what we're eating and how we're treating our body has a huge impact in the way our brain functions, and more so today than ever before. Why? Because there's more stress than ever before. That's one thing, and stress eats away at these brain chemicals. And two is that our food has never been so deficient in nutrients before, with just the influx of so many pesticides and fertilizers being used to grow our food. It's literally nutritionally deficient. The actual minerals that make brain chemicals are just not present in the food today. It's important that we get some form of practical mineral supplementation to get what's missing in our food. Every time we eat a meal with pesticides, it goes right into our gut and kills the healthy flora. So we need to help restore the healthy flora in the gut with lots of acidophilus and extra enzymes. Much of the protein we eat is either overcooked or shot up with hormones and whatever, and the body just has a difficult time digesting it. So our brains are not getting the right proteins and amino acids. And one of the worst things is the quality of fat that we eat. The animal meats are all shot up with hormones, and so it's like too much fat, the wrong kind of fat. And then in all the packaged foods we have, it's hydrogenated fat, which is really, really bad for the body and prevents the body from utilizing the good fats, particularly the omega-3, omega-6, omega-9 fats. And these omega fats, they're essential fats because we can't create it within our body. We're dependent upon eating them. And particularly the omega-3 fats are essential for brain function and the production of serotonin, most importantly. And our diet is just deficient in them, so we need to have extra sources of support for the omega-3 essential fatty acids. So what I did in my book is I put together some recipes for people to make easy smoothies. And over the years, just as a convenience for myself and then for others, I have a company to manufacture the formulas, bringing together some really high-quality nutrients. You know, one of the best nutrients for the brain for thousands of years has been dairy products. Unfortunately, today, the quality of dairy products are so bad because they're pasteurized. They're cooked for a long time to extend shelf life. And this kills the enzymes and distorts the amino acids, so it really doesn't produce ample amounts of dopamine and serotonin like it used to. There are, fortunately, some sources of raw dairy products and raw milk whey and so forth, raw milk casein, which I've been able to get my manufacturer to purchase and their products. So that's a good one. There's a few other companies as well on the Internet that carry the non-denatured whey, which is really a good protein. And then when you balance that with just the right amount of essential fatty acids, which you can get from ground flax seeds, that's a really winning balance to produce serotonin in the brain. And I talk about the actual balances of how much protein to fat for women to produce serotonin and how much protein to fat for men to make the dopamine. Higher protein, less fat produces dopamine, and lower protein, higher fat produces serotonin. And that's a simple little formula which is in the book as well if you want to work out those recipes, or you can get it pre-mixed as well if you want. The formula's catching on. So, you know, there's other really, really great things to help the brain function, which is a particular kind of raisin called a goji berry. It's like a red raisin, a red berry that they make raisins out of, and it's just terrific. Whole Foods is carrying it now. So there's lots of different extra things we can do to provide super nutrients for our body, and that's what I focused on, and we can look at that in the question and answers that we have time for. I'll just go with wherever you want me to go in terms of this discussion. Certainly many of these points are covered in my book, The Mars and Venus Diet and Exercise Solution. For people that are really eager and want to get to know more about it, I do teach weekend courses on the subject, and I teach even five-day retreats on the subject as well, combining the importance of wellness and relationships for a long and happy life. So I think with that, it's a real pleasure for me to spend this time with you, and that's kind of a bit of an introduction to my focus these days, and I'm very happy to respond to your questions.
All right. Thank you, John. I'm going to open up the lines now. Okay. And, yes, John just mentioned his retreats, and I actually went to one of John's weekend retreats recently, and I can highly recommend it. So if any of you want to know more about that later on, you can just ask me about it. Now let's look at some of your questions. Oh, and by the way, I just want to say that at the very end of the call, I can help all of you with the detailed information about the books and these health products and so on of John. So we will have that information available to you at the end of the call. John, this is a great question because I think a lot of people can relate to this. She says, "I'm healthy, disease-free, and strong, but overweight. No matter how much I exercise and restrict my food intake, my body refuses to give up its precious excess fat. Why is that?"
That's a very, very common question, as mm-hmm. you point out, which is, first of all, when I have people work on our weight loss programs, first of all, I tell them to, if they're overweight, to exercise much, much less. often when you're overweight and you exercise, it just puts your body more in a stress mode. And it's elevated cortisol levels that will inhibit the body's ability to burn fat for energy. That's if you have an endomorph body type, which is the type of body that stores fat. The ectomorph body type, it doesn't store fat, so they actually become, they think long. Their body, when they eat a lot of unhealthy foods, they just worry too much, or they think too much, or they overthink things, overprocess things in the brain. Whereas people that more round body type tend to just store the fat, but it doesn't, in either case, they're not utilizing the fat for energy. They tend to run more on sugar. And whenever we're in the sugar mode, we're going into the unhealthy zone. And when our body is burning fat, we find that we're feeling more peaceful, we're feeling more calm, we have more energy, particularly if we're overweight. We don't have those drops in energy that tend to occur. So that's the first thing, which is go for long walks is the best kind of exercise with a friend, so you're talking the whole time. Should never get out of breath, and you shouldn't feel alone. Shouldn't feel like, okay, this is all to me, and I'm working really hard to do this. It should be feeling like I'm having a leisurely walk and talk for over an hour a day, and that would be the ultimate best weight loss program for somebody, particularly the female persuasion. Now, you've got that's on that side of it. Then the other clue that she said is that no matter how many calories I cut back on, mm-hmm. it's very important that you don't cut back on calories. See, to make the brain chemicals, if you're not eating enough food, you can't make the brain chemicals so that you don't have, so that your body's healthy. Let me give an example. When you're making, if you're a woman and you're making plenty of serotonin, then your stress levels will drop. That means that you'll feel calm and relaxed and peaceful and not rushed. That means your body it will start burning fat for energy. When you're feeling unpeaceful, when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling rushed, when you're feeling urgency and you're a woman, that is going to inhibit the fat burning process. And if you're an endomorph body type, more round body type, that means that you'll store fat rather than burn fat for energy. So you don't want to cut back on calories. What you want is to eat you know, a good amount of calories, a couple of thousand calories a day, between 1,000 and 2, but make sure that they're nutritionally rich and the ideal balance of protein and fat. There should be some protein with every meal. You need to avoid the carbohydrates, the high carbohydrate diet. The, you know, vegetables and fruits, of course, are fine, but the processed carbohydrates, which are often terrible. And I'm sensing also with this person, but it's so common for people who balloon up and just can't get it off. It's just simply a gluten intolerance, which means that their body cannot tolerate wheat. And if they just go for a month without bread, suddenly their body, their desire for bread goes away, but their body starts losing weight very quickly because they're also getting the right nutrients. That's why I recommend this gluten-free breakfast, which has got all the nutrients to produce plenty of serotonin for the whole day. So it doesn't even matter if the rest of your meals are not very nutritious, because you started the day with optimal brain chemistry, your body will be burning fat for energy, and if you're overweight, you'll tend to come back into balance quite quickly.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you mentioned that, Joan, because I actually found out that I was gluten intolerant, and I have been taking your Venus Wellness Program. And I was wondering if you could say a little bit about that for everybody, because I found it incredibly beneficial for my energy and for my general health. It wasn't particularly about losing weight, but more about getting more energy and just feeling better.
Exactly. What happens is anybody who feels bloated, whether you're overweight or not, but if you're feeling bloated or you're feeling tired or you're running out of energy, running out of steam, or you're feeling anxious during the day or you're overthinking, can't sleep well at night, getting up in the night, these are all symptoms of basically not digesting your meal to produce the adequate brain chemistry. And that's why I put together the Mars Venus Wellness Solution, which is three simple things to do every morning. One is to have a drink, and it's a drink which is used around the world quite commonly, and it's simply lemon and water. The lemon and water without protein, the lemon will go straight to the liver and release bile. which takes the toxins out of the liver. So just like we want to brush our teeth in the morning, we're going to help facilitate our body cleansing itself using natural foods that have been used for thousands of years. So lemon is good, but because our lemons today are so deficient in nutrients, I have made a little mix of spray-dried lemon with extra minerals in there, which are now no longer in the lemon. Also extra enzymes to compensate for all the pesticides that are in our intestines. The enzymes actually go in there and break down all these pesticides, which also kill off the healthy flora in the intestines. So I add acidophilus to it. So it's a wonderful little powdered drink to make a little lemonade. First thing in the morning, just a scoop in water and you stir it up. It tastes good. And it also has a particular ingredient to balance blood sugar for the rest of the day. And that is a special, it's a grape skin from Germany that I found. And it's a glucose, about 6 grams of glucose. And it doesn't cause your blood sugar to go high or low. It just balances it, and it keeps its balance because it has a particular isomer that the muscles don't utilize, and it's just for the brain. So it doesn't run out. You don't run out of it. So, and also I have in that little drink some rice bran because it's very high in silica, which is important for the bones. If you notice, the Asians don't have osteoporosis, they eat a lot of rice, brown rice, which is high in silica and keeps your bones really strong. It also has all the vitamins that your body would need from a very natural source instead of a synthetic processed vitamin pill. So I love this little lemon drink. So that's the lemon drink. And along with it, you take 2 capsules in the Mars Venus Wellness Solution. The capsules are, one is designed for men and one's designed for women. And I call them super minerals because they have minerals that aren't yet available in the United States, but the Germans have them, and they're super because they're a super delivery system. They take the calcium and deliver it right to the mitochondria. They take the magnesium and deliver it right to the thyroid gland and help the body relax and speed up the metabolism at the same time. They help muscles relax, but also stimulate metabolism. Then we've got the zinc orotate, which delivers the zinc straight into the brain for optimal brain function. We also put a little molasses in it because molasses has a really good form of iron for women. And again, higher forms of iron for women, higher forms of magnesium for women. And then another one, which is called lithium orotate. And lithium is, many people have heard of it as an antidepressant for bipolar people, but that's the controlled substance, a drug. The drug, it's called a drug simply because the form of lithium is 1,000 times more than the body really requires because lithium glutamate doesn't get into the brain. A German doctor found that if you bond lithium with orotate, you just need a little bit of lithium and it'll go right to the brain. And that lithium is the brain mineral required to activate the enzymes in the brain to make serotonin. And without that mineral, you just can't make as much serotonin. So it's a wonderful, wonderful brain mineral. All of these are brain minerals, actually. And then we also have chromium, which is another brain mineral that resets the receptor sites, also very well known to balance blood sugar. So this is an incredible little super mineral formula that goes along with the lemon drink before you put any protein into your stomach. That way it just sort of gets into the system before being slowed down with protein. Then you do a little exercise or shower and get ready for the day or whatever. And then you have a breakfast, which is a super shake. I call it a superfood shake, which has many of the ingredients I just mentioned, which are ideal for brain chemistry. You've got the particular whey protein that I found in Australia, which is non-pasteurized, spray-dried. Then we've got wolfberries from Tibet, which are in Tibet, they're used as an antidepressant when they use medicines, but they just grow wild in the villages where they eat them a handful a day. People live long, healthy lives, and they attribute it to the wolfberries. So it's becoming a very, very well-known substance, and that's got a whole handful of it worth in every little serving of this shake. So you got the wolfberries, you got the ground flax, so you get about the equivalent of a salmon meal for breakfast in terms of the omega-3 essential fatty acids, as well as almonds in there because almonds have omega-9 in them, which are really good for the pituitary gland that makes the dopamine, makes the hormones that the brain requires. All these good nutrients are in it, along with a lot of raw chocolate. Chocolate is great to produce the love hormone in the brain. And then it's sweetened with a little bit of molasses, and then again, we use the glucose from Germany, from the grape skin, and that just helps to stabilize the blood sugar. So if you have hypoglycemia or diabetes, not to worry. This is something that actually helps stabilize blood sugar and make you feel constant energy throughout the day. So that's our little Mars-Venus wellness solution.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I've benefited tremendously myself, and it's delicious, and it's quick, and I've really got my energy right back up. So, I said, well, I will have all this information for you at the end of the call, but I think we do have time for one more question anyway. Is what is the most effective way to approach a man? I was very pretty when I was young. Many men approach me. Now I'm 54. I have space to look around and perhaps pick someone myself, but I have not developed the skill. So, John, how would you respond with that question?
I didn't get the question.
About how to approach a man when you're 54.
Well, you still want men to approach you, but I'm not in favor of women being wallflowers, certainly. What you do is you just show a little interest, and if he shows interest back, a few questions, but don't question too much. That's the mistake women often make. But you can certainly engage a man in conversation by asking a few questions, appreciating his comments, and then not waiting for him to ask you questions about yourself. Sometimes women will sit back and wait to be asked questions by a guy. But, you know, share your thoughts, share your feelings, share your opinions. And also, then even asking him out on a date, but do it in a very sort of indirect way, which is, well, let's get together for lunch sometime and make it an open-ended thing and give him your net telephone number. And that's kind of a nice way to do it, so you're not being too aggressive. The reason I don't encourage women to being too aggressive is because often it either pushes men away or because you're too available. Men need a little bit of challenge, but they also need kind of like a green light saying that if they were to pursue you, they would be successful. I call that proceptivity, and I wrote about it in a book called Mars Venus on a Date. There's a subtlety to it in that you're being receptive to a man showing interest in you, but you're taking action to do that, to demonstrate to him that you would be open to spending more time with him, having a relationship, and getting to know him. So definitely the old-fashioned way of waiting for a guy to approach you is out, but just simply taking the role of pursuing men often leaves you disappointed as well. So there's an art to proceptivity, which is, again, putting yourself in situations where a man feels comfortable in approaching you. And if a guy's a little shy, then approaching even more. But not to push too much. Otherwise, men tend to become passive or lose interest.
Excellent. Well, thanks, John. I love that word, proceptivity. It's that mixture of being proactive and being receptive.
That's right, that's right.
That's a great word. It's really about balance, isn't it?
It is, it is.
Putting it out and at the same time being receptive to how it is received.
And, you know, even that is a single woman to apply that, but also for married women to apply that with their husbands again and again. It's just, you can't just sit back and expect him to do everything, although it would be really nice, it seems like, if he did, but, I mean, think of things on his own. But it's good to ask, but not be attached to getting a result right away, but put the request in again and again and again in a non-demanding way.
Oh, that's great, John, because this leads to the next question. She said, I sometimes find that my husband takes my questions as somehow being accusations. Is this because of tone or words or what?
Often the biggest complaint men have when I'm talking to them is they feel quite annoyed when women ask lots of questions. There's actually a part of a brain called the amygdala, which is when a woman's under stress, it becomes quite active. It becomes active in a man too, but for a man it tends to be directed to the part of the brain that wants to solve problems and act. Whereas for women it's directed to the part of the brain that processes information and feelings. So when women are feeling a little threatened, they tend to ask questions, which is certainly what you want to do, is you want to get to know the person and find out about the situation. But it's foreign territory for men, and men always often feel like you don't trust them, or they can get the message that they're being interrogated, you know, that somehow that their answers aren't adequate or who they are is not adequate. Men can take it the wrong way. So it's a sensitivity I warn women against when you're upset or distressed in any way from asking a lot of questions. And even when you're just being friendly and nice and you're trying to get some conversation going, asking questions can be very annoying to men. And it's hard for women to realize that, because if I started asking my wife a lot of questions, she'd probably appreciate it. Be like, oh, I'm interested in getting to know what she's thinking and feeling.
So, yeah.
So ask less questions. But now, asking questions is different from making a request. Okay, it's like I'm going out. My wife says, "Where are you going?" I say, "Oh, I'm just going out." "Why are you going out?" "Well, I'm going to go to the store and pick up such and such." "Well, why do you want to buy such and such?" I say, "I want to." "Well, don't you already have one of those?" I mean, it becomes this big long conversation, which I don't want to have.
Yes, you would rather she just says, "Okay," when you go out.
Yeah. I'll see you later. "Where are you going?" "I'm going out to do this." "Okay," and that's that.
Whereas women like to be asked more.
Yeah, it makes. Yeah. If she's leaving, I say, "Where are you going, honey?" She goes, "Oh, I'm going to so-and-so." "Oh, really? You're going to go there? Why are you going to go there for?" I mean, it just brings in a conversational tone that we want to get to know about each other, and we want to know where we are and so forth, whereas often men feel kind of challenged and controlled and don't appreciate that as much or at all.
Right. And so if we just sort of just say to the man, "Okay," and he feels then more relaxed and sort of ease, and he's free sort of within the relationship, then he's more likely to come back from his little trip to the grocery store with some roses or something like that.
Exactly. He's more inclined to be more friendly in the relationship and want to share.
Yeah.
Whenever a guy pulls away, if you kind of go after him, then he pulls away even more. But if you just let him pull away, do his thing, then he wants to get back in. It's kind of like he springs back.
Yeah, so because he needs to be alone and he needs to be together.
That's right.
And is are women the same? Women need to be alone and women...
Well, I think women do need to be alone and be together, but they feel the need to be together more than a man feels the need to be alone, because men need to feel together too. It's just men tend to feel the need to be alone more.
Mm.
Women feel the need to be together more. It's a wonderful balance. And certainly there's exceptions to that. If a woman is sort of wanting to pull away a lot, then a man will feel a greater need to get together, and then he'll tend to become very needy at that point, which makes her want to pull away even more.
There's this whole dance going on.
Yeah, there's a dance that goes on, but if we understand hormones...
Exactly.
There really is a difference in our hormones, which is when men pull away, the testosterone hormone has a chance to rebuild, and it's testosterone that men need to make 30 times more in a day than a woman does. So men will have a greater need to pull away for that reason. Women need oxytocin, another hormone that is stimulated through sharing and togetherness and connectedness and, you know, kind of this infusion of two lives bonding together. Oxytocin is the bonding hormone. And women have 10 times more of that, and with oxytocin, it lowers her stress levels, but it doesn't lower a man's stress levels. So naturally, women are seeking out ways to increase oxytocin.
Right. And John, what I love about your work so much is there's the more awareness we have about ourselves as men or as women, about our physiology, our nutrition, and how we are, what we're made up of, then we can bring that into our relationships, and everything is enhanced.
With a greater attitude of acceptance, it then promotes a greater willingness to understand.
Yes.
And with acceptance and understanding, we build trust, we build caring, we also respect each other more, and we're willing to support each other more.
Yes. And I'm seeing the time, and I do want to have some time now at the end of the call to give everybody just more information of where to find your incredible products and your book and on all of this. So I want to have time to do that. And so now it's time for me to thank you, John, for taking the time to be with us tonight. It's been incredible. You've delivered some wonderful information that I'm sure everybody is very appreciative of. And thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. And maybe when you're mentioning my book and where they can get it, there's CDs and tapes and videos if people wanted more on that level as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will certainly let them know about where to get that too.
Okay.
May I ask one question?
We're out of time, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Who is this?
Okay.
This is Ginger in Austin. I just wondered
we can't get into it more because we're on time restraint here, but I've made a note that you had another question.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
So thank you so much, John.
Okay, I'll get off then, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So in the few minutes we have left, I want to give you all some information. You have some paper and pen there so that you can follow up with this. There's a page on my website. My website is www.pragito.com. Then you'll go /marsvenus.html. So that's www.pragito.com/marsvenus.html. And there's some information up there about the Mars and Venus wellness packages that John was describing and that I myself take, the lemon cleanse, the minerals, and the shake, the one for men, the other one for women. So there's some more detailed information there. If any of you have more, and his book you can get from the Mars-Venus Diet Solution, Diet and Exercise Solution. You can get his book anywhere. Books are sold at Amazon.com. And then all of his products he was mentioning, the CDs and DVDs, he has all kinds of packages. Those are on his website, MarsVenus.com. And I am keeping my office line open for 1 hour after this call. So that number is 415-925-9533. If you have further questions about these products we've been talking about. And you can also call, where is her number? Juliet. Juliet is John's assistant. And her number is 415-388-8307. And there's two of us because there's a lot of you on this call. So we are both going to be available at those numbers I gave you from when we hang up from here for one more hour. So that would be until 9 p.m. Pacific. And also tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. until noon Pacific. You can call me at 415-925-9533, or you can call Juliet, John's assistant, at 415-388-8307. And you can look at those pages on the website, pragito.com/marsvenus.html, and there's pictures of the cleanses and the minerals, the shakes, things John was talking about. There's pictures and there's the ingredients and the information there. All right. So does anybody have any more questions right now? We just have about 2 minutes left. Have you all got all the information I gave you? Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
All right. So thank you so much, all of you, for calling in. And I hope you enjoyed it. Did you enjoy John's talk?
Yes.
Yes.
He has the most tremendous, incredible information about nutrition. And, you know, it's so interesting because it's incredible how the nutrition is such an important part of our relationship. Because the more balanced we are when we have the right nutrition and the more balanced our bodies is, then this, of course, helps us with our relationship. So they go to
I have a question.
Yes?
I have a question.
Who's this?
This is Joyce. I have not read this book, but I was recommended to read The Mood Cure by Julia Roth, which talks about exactly the same thing. Are you familiar with it?
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it, so I don't know. I can recommend John's work because I know it.
Okay.
So. All right. So have we all had a good time?
Yes. Thank
yes.
you. Yes.
Good.
Thank
good.
You.
So I'll look forward to hearing from you. Got an hour now and 3 hours tomorrow morning. And once again, thank you all for being on the call.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.